Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage and do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
Listen up, it's Nick and Sam. Taking you to jungle lands. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're always there. Touchdowns, tackles, all the plays. Bengals roar in every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome in to the latest edition of the Jungle Juice Podcast. I'm Sam Gormley. He's Mick Nelson. Mick, how's it going? You sick of the cold yet?
I don't know. It's the first day of cold that we've had in like a week, so I think it's supposed to go away after tomorrow. So I don't know. I'll deal with it. Did wake up to a little bit of snow this morning, but
now
nothing like crazy.
How do you feel about snow? Like, I feel like the older I get, the more I turn into a grouch when it comes to snow.
I mean, I don't have to shovel anything.
Except off your car, I guess, right?
Yeah, it gives me an excuse to not show up to work. I don't know. I don't mind it.
Now that I work from home, it's no longer a thing, but that was always our issue. You know, working in the media business, it didn't matter how much snow. We still worked.
Yeah.
So, and luckily, like, my boss would end up, we had a Hummer, was our station vehicle, and that thing, if there was a snowstorm, if that thing couldn't get through, then we were in real bad problems. So he would literally just use it as a bus and pick everyone up on the way to work. And now, though, that we're working from home, I have no excuse because I can't use the, oh, it's too snowy for me to go to work, because if it's snowy on my way to work.
Yeah, but you still get to work from home at least, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah. It has its pros.
The only bad part of the snow, I guess, I don't like is that taking out Rory is a little more difficult.
Does she like the snow, your dog?
She likes playing in it, but not necessarily like doing her business out there in the snow.
That's fair. That's fair. Big show playing. There's actually a lot of news to get to here for a, you know, mid-December. Bengals kind of have playoff hopes, but yet there's still a ton of news for us to get to here today. We thank you for taking the time to join us. You can follow us on your favorite social media. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're also on Twitter. And make sure to follow us on your favorite podcasting platform to subscribe to us. That way, give us a 5-star rating. That's the best way for this podcast to grow and so on. And we really do appreciate when that happens. But let's waste no more time, Mick, and let's get into some of the news headlines, because, like I said, there's a lot to get to and a couple of things. Hey, Frank, Houday, thanks for joining us every week. First news headline that came out earlier today that is really just a quick little drop, and I think it's something that we'll talk more about come like April, May. It was announced earlier today that Berlin is going to be hosting one of the international games, which I believe now raises the total to 8. Mick, I'm going to bet almost any amount of money the Cincinnati Bengals will have an international game next season as a home game. They will only have 8 home games next year, and they're going to have a game in, and it wouldn't shock me if Berlin is the spot.
I would think that Germany would be at the spot for a Cincinnati European game at some point, just given the German heritage of the city. I think it's kind of a no brainer for the Bengals to be there. So yeah, 8 international games. Are we going to Germany next year?
Listen, I'm in. Like, that would be something that would very much intrigue. And listen, even London,
as season ticket holders, we should at least get admission into the Germany game.
I would imagine that they at least would give a deal for tickets. I have no idea how that works, though. But I mean, even if it's, I think, like, Spain next year is getting a game, maybe that would be fun to go to. Now, if it's Brazil,
Not Spain. It's
what?
Spain. You gotta say it right. Spain.
Oh, that depends on where you live in Spain. If you live in Barcelona, that's how you say it. If you live in the rest of Spain, then it's just, Barcelona. Yeah. I didn't have any idea what you're saying.
Spain.
I don't know if Brazil is coming back next year. That would be the one that I'd be like, I don't really know.
Yeah, that could be on the chopping block.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there's games, and not to talk too much about crime in different countries and stuff, but the fact that there's games in Mexico City and Sao Paulo, I think is stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know. Crime in America too, don't get me wrong, but like,
it sounds like there are going to be 8 games next year, international-wise.
I want a game
Berlin,
in Tokyo.
Berlin, Madrid, and Madrid, Berlin, and London are the ones that are locked in right now. There'll be multiple games in some of those slots as well. Madrid would be fun in 2025. London's Tottenham Hotspur Stadium will host 2, Berlin, Madrid, and London as well. So you could see the Bengals playing an international game, and we'll talk more about that come. I think one of those, were released like a week or two before the schedule comes out, I think, if my memory's right. So like right after the draft, be something that can be discussed, and predicting which game next season will probably be the one that'll be booted. But don't be surprised.
Are you surprised the Europeans have not created their own football league? I know the NFL Europe was a thing, but that was owned by the NFL. I'm surprised there hasn't been like a group of European billionaires.
I guess there's probably just not that much interest in it. Like, the interest is there, but I mean, if you go over there, it's soccer. Like, the NFL is one of those things that
we still have soccer. We still have professional soccer teams in America.
But it's not the NFL.
It's not. They can have their own version of the MLS in Europe.
And I know that there is like a German professional football league, but it's nowhere near. Yeah, and because I know that the German professional league, I know that I did a college game a couple of years ago, and the quarterback the prior year was like the quarterback for one of the teams. And I remember I was trying to find some information about how the guy was doing, but the entire website for the German professional football league was in German, and I do not speak German. So I had no idea what I was doing in trying to figure that out. I needed to call somebody that spoke German, and I didn't have anybody right off the bat that did.
Lubanski. That's a name right there.
Oh, there you go. Could have called him. Or Rob Sarri. I could have called him. Some of the other headlines here to move on to as well. Tomorrow, so the Thursday of this time last season was when we found out the flex date. So, you know, the Bengals-Broncos right now is going to be either Saturday or Sunday of week 17. Yes. is that the second to last game of the season. That's the like the 28th, 29th, something like that. It's interesting. So the slots for those games on the Saturday are 1:00, 4:30, and 8:15, and then 2 games will be on Sunday. So the 5 games right now that will be flexed, 3 of which will go on to Saturday. Broncos at Bengals, Cardinals at Rams, Chargers at Patriots, Colts at Giants, Falcons at Commanders. To me, the wild card with this, though, is the Sunday night football game that week is Dolphins at Browns. To me, that's a prime, let's flex that game out option.
Yes.
Because I don't know that anybody really wants to see Dolphins at Browns. So could you see maybe one of these big games, like a Falcons at Commanders, shift into that Sunday night spot, or a Cardinals at Rams shift into that Sunday night spot?
I think it's going to be one of those two. It's probably one of those two games, if I had to guess.
So my strong prediction is the Bengals are going to play on Saturday. Like, I feel pretty strongly about that. That Broncos game will be on Saturday.
And guess who's not going to complain about that?
I will complain because that
this
is...
guy.
It makes things more difficult for me. But with that, I'm interested as the time slot. Because let's say that Cards-Rams goes into Sunday Night Football. I think it's safe to say that Colts-Giants is going to be a Sunday 1 o'clock game. I don't
We'll get the I think we get the four. Is there a 4:30 Saturday
There's
slot?
There's 1:30 and 8:15 on Saturday.
I think 4:30 Saturday slot. You got a West Coast market team in the Broncos. Excuse me. And then this game still has potential meaning depending on how the Bengals perform in two very winnable games the next 2 weeks. They win these next two games. The Bengals and the Broncos game is a pivotal game, potentially. It also depends on how the Broncos do in the next 2 weeks, too, which they have. I mean, they have a pretty hard or, you know, a slightly difficult schedule, I think, coming up for them. I mean, they're going to be playing the Colts next this upcoming week. They have the Steelers the week after that, then us, and then the Chiefs, I believe. So, I mean, there's a good chance. I mean, if Bengals win, you know, win their next two, Broncos lose their next two, that game might decide the seventh seed.
Which
depending on if the Chiefs will rest all of their starters in week 18 because they secure a bye.
Which would be interesting then. Does that game then get slotted into Saturday night, or does that turn into Sunday Night Football that week? You know, do they, but then again, I don't know that they'd make that decision tomorrow. If that's when they are going to make the decision, I don't know that they would go all in on Bengals Broncos being a Sunday Night Football game.
I mean, that,
far out, unless they automatically put it to Sunday and hold out hope that the Bengals win. But regardless, it'll be interesting to see what time slot that game is. I'm fairly confident though, it'll be on Saturday.
Yeah.
Of week 17. Some other of the news headlines, maybe the biggest two that came out this week. Was Joe Burrow's comments after the game on Monday, and we'll talk more about the game in a moment, but the story of the game was what he said about T. Higgins and what has then come out in the last 48 hours following that. So just to recap, you know, Joe Burrow says he's confident on getting T. Higgins back, and when asked why after the game, he kind of smirked and said, "We'll see." Ja'Marr Chase said, "It's possible. We're probably going to have to play some chess to make both of them be able to stay." Earlier today in his press conference, Joe Burrow said that he'd, quote, be very disappointed if they didn't sign T, and then followed up by calling him a, quote, need. And then also earlier this morning, ESPN was the first to report it, and then Kelsey Conway from The Inquirer followed it up as well, that T. Higgins is reportedly no longer involved with his agent, David Mulligetta. Now, it's no secret that the Bengals and David Mulligetta probably aren't exchanging Christmas cards this year.
Are there such things as like Christmas hate cards?
Or, maybe cold to one another.
Yeah, Cole. Or
they're not necessarily friends. We'll just put it at that. Is this changing any? Because I think it's safe to say that three weeks ago, if I asked you, is there any chance of T. Higgins being on the Bengals next season? You would have said, and I think we both would have said, not zero, but not. I don't know that we'd have said 1%.
Like, so there are a couple things that could have happened between T. Higgins and David Mulligetta. One is that David Mulligetta has a ton of clients, is one of the most in-demand agents in the NFL, and maybe T. just didn't feel like he was getting the attention that he needed from his agent. You know, there's a real possibility of that just being the case of why he fired David Mulligetta. Or, if we want to be hopeful here, Sam, T. Higgins wants to stay in Cincinnati, and he wants an agent that is willing to make that work, a guy that isn't as combative with the Bengals front office as David Mulligetta has been with previous clients, or with clients that were previous members of the Cincinnati Bengals. So I think it's one of those two things. I know that the market for T. in free agency is going to be an absolute bloodbath, though, which is the thing. I mean, I think the Patriots are ready to haul out the Brinks truck for him and make him one of the highest paid receivers in the league. You've heard about the Panthers, the Browns also being involved in that. But the thing is, those teams don't have a Joe Burrow. They don't have a Patrick Mahomes. They have one team's in absolute QB despair. One's got, you know, a rookie quarterback who's looked decent. You know, I think the potential is, yeah, I think the potential is definitely there for Drake May to be a very good quarterback in the NFL. And the other one is Bryce Young, which we are still, I think the jury's still kind of out. We've seen some improvement for him in the past month and a half, but we, you know, it's not a sure thing. I think Bryce has bought himself another year to see what he can do. And then also, I guess Carolina's pretty close to home for T. Higgins, I believe, as well. So that might have something to play in there if T decided to look at them in free agency. But, you know, I think T does want to make it work. And I think Joe has shown a sure commitment to that. Now, if he, you know, does Joe adjust his contract at all to try and make that happen? I think
he'd have to restructure. Yeah, I mean, he'd have to restructure. And it sounds like to me the, you know, when asked why he's so confident about T. Higgins coming back next year, he kind of smirked and said, "We'll see." To me, that says, I'm going to, you know, we're going to do something with this. We're going to throw around some money. We're going to restructure. We're going to do whatever it is. And I mean, listen, Joe Burrow just bought his Batmobile. What else does he need? Maybe he has to buy some home security, but we'll talk about that.
I was
going to
say, he's going to need, he needs an army around his house.
He needs a blink doorknob. I think they're on sale right now at maybe Prime Days or something. He might've missed that, but I think he can buy a couple of those. But I'm fascinated. And I know we've talked about this too throughout the season. Like, whenever the Bengals season ends and we like the in between our wrap up show and when we start diving into free agency, we're almost going to need one show to dive into the T. Higgins discussion.
Yeah.
And just go through all aspects of it, of whether they should do it. I mean, if we're being honest, listen, we love Burrow, Chase, and Higgins, but is it a smart decision for the Bengals to pay Higgins, Chase, and Burrow? Especially when you look on the other side of the ball and the defense is absolute dog crap.
I was going to say, I think it wouldn't make sense if the Bengals didn't already have like existing pieces elsewhere on the roster that are considered, I guess, franchise cornerstone players. Really, the Bengals only have three of them. And it's Burrow, Chase, and Jamar, or Burrow, Chase, and Higgins. I mean, people can say Trey Hendrickson all they want. I mean, Trey Hendrickson's is approaching towards the latter end of his career. He cannot be a franchise cornerstone, unfortunately, even though he's been playing out of his mind for us for the past four seasons.
Well, I know Lance McAllister always likes asking the question in the offseason, and I think he's done it for about the past decade, and he shares it. The five most important Cincinnati Bengals in the next 5 years is something along the lines of that. And to me, in the past, it's been very easy to come up with five. And I was sitting there thinking, or just the five most important Cincinnati Bengals for the next 2 years, we'll say this. I mean, to me, it's easy. Burrow and Chase are your two locked in. The question with T is do you put him in there because he's not technically on the team next year? I don't know. But after that, I don't know that Orlando Brown Jr.
Orlando Mims, Brown Jr. or Amarius Mims. I mean, I don't think there's
Chase
anybody
Brown,
on. I know. I mean, I well, and he's also a running back, so it's easier to kind of
Cam Grandy.
If you wanted to bring him back, you can. Cam Grandy.
No.
Marco Wilson. Even though Marco Wilson had a really good game.
Yeah, I want to talk about him on Monday. A little bit later on. But I'm interested, and we don't need to dive too much into it because, like I said, I mean, for one, it's not like they're going to come out today and be like, oh, T. Higgins just signed a massive contract extension. For one, they legally cannot do that. They can't negotiate until the season's over because he's playing under the franchise tag. But here's also the thing. They can tag him again.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. Also, I would be saying shame on the team for doing that. You know my opinion on the franchise tag. Anybody that's watched the show before know my thing on the franchise tag. I think it is the worst thing to come out of the CBA is the franchise tag.
And you know I'm not going to disagree. I'm just saying it is a potential there. The other big news from the week, Joe Burrow's house was broken into. And then it follows up with, you know, it starts coming out with who he's dating and so on. And
Mick, we've been wondering this for a long time.
Have we? Here's my question. I mean, why do people care? Like, why do you care who he's dating? Why are we going into the, like, and I get we're in the TMZ lifestyle of having to know everything about everybody. And I get, you know me, Mick, I'm a pretty private person. I don't share a lot about what I do in my free time. I guess I could be kind of mysterious when it comes to that. That's nothing personal towards anybody. I just keep it all to myself for the most part. Why do people care?
I don't know. It's just fun. People love tea, is what my wife would say. People love it. I like tea. Tea's Higgins? Fun. I also like T. Higgins, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know? Is it TT? Isn't that person too? Isn't that?
I don't think a lot of people like that one. But
I thought your wife did. Oh.
Yeah, not as much.
I didn't realize that she's gone downhill since the Cody Ford breakup. But yeah, and that's another example. Why do we care about that? Like, why do you care? It has no impact on you. I don't know. I just...
We just want our guy to be happy, okay? We want him to be happy. Listen, he has not looked happy pretty much all season. He looked happy yesterday, which, you know, it was just really nice seeing him and Jamar, you know, just actually looking like... Yeah, acting like they were having fun, having a really good time.
I love it. In that video, did you catch what Burrow called Chase or at the very end?
Oh, it was hilarious. It was so funny.
And, you know, at the very end, ESPN didn't cut it out. And you just hear Burrow call him a witch, right?
It was funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. But yeah, it's the Burrow thing. As long as he's happy, go for him. You know, you do you. But I do have to give props. And I think this counts, Mick. So I think it was Jeremy Rowell from Fox 19 on Paul Daner's, he hosts every year on his podcast right before the season begins. He hosts like a season preview show. And he had each of the beat writers come onto the show and have them give a bold prediction for the Bengals season. You know, people would come on and be like, oh, they're going to win the division. Oh, Jeremy Rowell came out and said that it was going to come out that Joe Burrow was going to be dating a celebrity this year. I don't know that if the person it is technically a celebrity, but he's not wrong. I mean, he's close. Yeah.
It's not like a college sweetheart or a high school sweetheart or anything like that. It is it's a model.
Yeah.
The SI model. Yeah.
Did you watch any of Hard Knocks last night?
No, I did not get a chance to catch on.
I didn't either.
We'll give you our Hard Knocks breakdown, I guess, next week.
Next week, yeah, we could do that. I didn't watch it either. Let's jump into Bengals Cowboys from Monday night. We can start off with talking about the broadcast that I know you watched every second of, loved every second of it. I'm surprised it's not on in your background watching on replay, and that's the Simpsons broadcast. I know you were such a big fan of it and just waiting on the edge of your seat for every second of it. Did you watch a single second?
No.
I mean, did you see any of the highlights?
I might have caught like a couple reels on Facebook. That was about it.
I thought it was cool. Like, and I know you're not really a fan of The Simpsons, though, are you?
I like The Simpsons. I just hate that we have to have a broadcast of games that are cartoons. Like, just watch a football game, dude. Or watch the Manning cast. Manning cast is really fun, too. But like,
yeah, and I want to go back and rewatch the Manning cast from Monday as well. I usually do that, especially when the Bengals are on. I thought it was fun, you know, and I think a lot of people on social media were talking about it as well. I watched just a couple of the highlights as we were getting ready to come on air today. But other than that, I don't know. It seemed like it was fun. Let's go into the game itself. Some things that we liked, and my big takeaway from this game was, and it's really kind of a two-parter, Mick, is that for one, it just sucks that the Bengals defense is so bad because Joe Burrow would be the MVP and Jamar Chase would be the offensive player of the year.
Yeah. And Jamar Chase still might be the offensive player of the year.
He should be.
He's got to pull off a triple crown in order to do it because Saquon Barkley exists.
He does.
The Eagles are also 10-2 or 11-2.
Well, actually, isn't it AFC Offensive Player of the Year? Don't they do
I think it's NFL. It's NFL Offensive Player of the Year. It's not split by conference.
I know the MVP is I'm thinking about this. I don't know.
That is not.
Talk about this. Yeah. Okay. You're right. You're right. You're right. It is the NFL. I don't know why I was thinking on that one that it might have been split.
It is. It's split on Madden.
Maybe that's what I was thinking when it came to that. But I mean, Joe Burrow, 33 of 44, 369, three touchdowns and an interception. Ja'Marr Chase, 14 catches, 177 yards and two touchdowns. Pay the man.
Joe Burrow's pocket maneuvering is
elite.
It's a work of art. It is beautiful. It is the Mona Lisa of pocket maneuvering. It's freaking nuts how he's able to just throw with anticipation and navigate a pretty horrendous line for the past 5 years.
You heard Troy Aikman say too at the start of the broadcast where he said, you know, Joe Burrow is my favorite quarterback in the NFL right now because he's like a quarterback back then, like when he played. You know, he's not Lamar, where he's going to wow you with his athleticism. He's not Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to go out there and throw it underneath his legs and then bounce it off of somebody's head, and then the receiver's going to catch, you know, or whatever Mahomes does. The wild plays. He is just the epitome. He's not Josh Allen, where he's just a behemoth of a man.
But he isn't like Tom Brady, who's But he also isn't Tom Brady, who's like, you know, just a statue in the pocket and is a, you know, a pretty much a check down artist, right? I mean, he's still pushing the ball down the field, moving around back there. I mean, it reminds me a lot of peak Aaron Rodgers or Dan Marino back in the 90s. It's crazy the way that he plays the position. I'll thank whatever higher being out there every day that we've had Joe Burrow as our starting quarterback of our team. It's crazy how good he is.
He's just so much fun to watch. He is just so much fun to watch, and it just makes things a lot more enjoyable. The Bengals have a dude at quarterback. Yeah. I mean, he is a legitimate dude at the quarterback position. Some other things that stand out to me as far as what I really liked, I think Chase Brown is continuing to evolve in this offense. You know, six catches, 65 yards. On those six catches, he forced six missed tackles, eight total missed tackles forced, which was the most in the league last week.
Yeah. No, Chase Brown, the receiver, I think has really come on really strong over the past few weeks. And you already mentioned the receiving stats. I mean, he's really just wide receiver number three right now. He was wide receiver number two on Monday. He's done great receiving the ball, rushing the ball. I think he was okay in this game, but wasn't great. The grading wasn't great. I think he graded right around a 60 in run grade, 14 rushes, 58 yards, 4.1 yards per attempt, 3.1 yards after contact, which I thought was a pretty solid number. Didn't have any breakaway yards in this game, which is a stat that is, you know, it's any rushes that are 15 yards or over, they'll put in the pot of breakaway yards. And Chase Brown didn't have any breakaway yards in this game from the rushing aspect. Now, from the receiving aspect, he was just dicing them up. Great touchdown catch and run by Chase Brown, by the way, which I thought that was totally going to – I thought that was going to stand, that he was out at the one-yard line. I thought I could see his foot out by just a very, very, very small amount. But thankfully, it, you know, got overturned and it was a touchdown.
Did you see the video? I think it might have come out yesterday of one of the reporters asked him if he's ready for the fine for jumping in the pot. You know, or the Salvation Army, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "What?" And it just this look of like horror. He goes, "I'm gonna get fined." He's like, "I've never gotten fined before."
I love how much. And so they had a mic on him, like, or a mic pretty close to him on the field, like while he's in the pot. It's like in the most Canadian like way ever. You went like no. Which was, I thought it was pretty funny.
How do we think about Amarius Mims on Monday?
Not great. I don't think the offensive line was great at all in this game by any means. Now, to be fair, they're dealing with maybe the best pass rusher in the league
and that pass rusher too is not. And you heard, I think it was Troy Aikman that mentioned this. That is the epitome of an awful matchup for Amarius Mims.
Yeah.
Because Amarius Mims is a behemoth of a man, and Micah Parsons is a speed guy who can get... I mean, literally, Micah Parsons can almost run in between his legs.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm not as... Like, Mims allowed one sack. Now, the pressures were there and so on, but I think for the most part, the Bengals did a pretty decent job against Micah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't. I don't think it was good by any means across the board. All five offensive linemen graded pretty poorly in pass protection. Lots of pressures given up, almost 20 pressures given up. And two sacks, listen, miraculously.
Listen to what you just said, too. Wait, read that stat again.
What? 20 pressures?
20 pressures. Only gave up two sacks. And Joe Burrow passed 33 of 44 for 369 yards, three touchdowns. And the one interception he was hit as he threw it.
Yeah.
Like, it just shows how freaking good Joe Burrow is. Just incredible. I think we also got to give a shout out, though, to Geno Stone. You know, he
good
has
game
been,
from Geno. Really good is, game from Geno.
He has been criticized, well-deserved, this year. Far and away his best graded game of the season. Like, I don't think it's even remotely close.
No, it's not.
It's just like in a different hemisphere. Ended a stretch of three straight games with multiple missed tackles. He didn't have any. That helps the PFF grade.
He wasn't technically targeted in coverage either. He had the interception, but that was off of a deflection from CTB.
Who almost should get one.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Interception on the play as well. Like, it should almost be like a sack where it's half and half.
I think he might have a forced interception. I don't even know if it was a forced interception from CTB. It was a terrible ball from Cooper Rush.
It was pretty.
We got a couple breaks in that game. So, we'll give a shout-out to Lady Luck real quick, who was a great player in this game. The CTB / Geno Stone interception, or we can just thank Cooper Rush for that one. We can thank all-time Bengals great Nick Vigil for the luckiest play I've seen for the Bengals in a while. Maybe since – do you think the Sam Hubbard, the Hubbard yard dash is somewhat of a lucky play?
No, because I think, you know, Logan Wilson made a good play on that. Because, like, okay. Logan Wilson punched it out.
Yeah, but you also got to give credit to Tyler Huntley for
– being an idiot.
Yeah, for stretching the ball out of the goal line
I don't know if being an idiot is lucky.
That's true. But, yeah, this might be the luckiest play I've ever seen in a Bengals game. And we've been watching for, I don't know, close to 25 years. I mean,
this is a play that happens against the Bengals. You know, I just think back to the Broncos game back in, what was that, 08, 09, the Stokely with Gus Johnson on the call where it was tipped up into the air and he caught it and, what was it, like 10-7 was the final score of that game or something?
Yes.
I just think that those are the plays that the Bengals somehow don't. You know, okay. What about Mike Nugent in the 2015 game against the Seahawks? Doinking the field goal in. Maybe luckiest play since then?
That's pretty close. That's a pretty close one.
And like Riley says here too, the Cowboys defender was also an idiot. Why did he try to catch it? Like, he's not wrong there. I don't really know what the
that's all time Bengals great right there.
Well, Nick Vigil wasn't the one that
He wasn't the one that
he was
the
one that blocked. Nick Vigil almost won then the game.
Yeah, but then he won us the game because he technically touched it.
Well, no, the other guy did. The outside guy touched it. So one of the other Cowboys, one of their gunners went to try and recover it, and it went off of his hands. And if he wouldn't have touched it, it would have been just a dead ball.
Yeah.
But since he touched it, it became a live ball, which was interesting. Another shout-out I want to give, and it was I almost feel bad to myself, is at one point in the game in the first quarter, popped up like a number 41 or something, made a play, 42. Or 42 made a play. And I was like, Wilson.
Like, Alan George is back.
I was like, who the hell is Wilson 42? I was like, Brandon Wilson? I was like, he's not 42. He's not on the team. And I was like, oh, that's right. Marco Wilson is a thing. I was like, hey, he had a pretty good game.
No, I honestly think that you might want to keep him around just as a stash spot on the roster going forward. I mean, I think that he's had some, you know, starting experience with Arizona, with New England. It hasn't been great. He was a somewhat highly touted NFL prospect. I think he was tabbed as a day two pick in whatever draft he was in. I think 2021, maybe 2020. But yeah, I think he played fairly well in this game in coverage. It was, you know, refreshing to see from a Bengals defensive back.
Anything else you liked, or you want to jump into some stuff that we didn't like?
Trey was good. Trey was really good in this game. Again, 6 pressures, 1 sack, 1 QB hit, 11.7 pressure rate or sack rate. They combined them into one stat there. 20% pass rush win rate. That's a really good. That's a really good mark as well.
We didn't like. Let's just go with one. I don't know that I didn't like this performance, but it wasn't his greatest. And I know he was getting slammed on social media from it. And it was T. Higgins.
Not a good game.
He had 2 catches for 23 yards. And I just found it hilarious because all the poor people that had T. Higgins to like win their fantasy league or to make their fantasy playoffs or something, they needed like 5 points, and he only came away with 4.3 or depending on how your league is as far as PPR and so on. But yeah, it wasn't his best game. But then again, Jamar went off. Chase Brown had a good receiving game, so they didn't necessarily need T as much, but he had another drop. It just wasn't. But what he was good at is he did have some good blocks on the outside.
He did. He had some good blocks. And this is like the first not good game I've seen from T so far this season. T's actually been fairly lights out all year and when he's been on the field. And this was just not a good game from him. You know, I think it happens from players from time to time. We already talked about pass blocking. I don't think it was necessarily very good. And I know you're going up against Micah Parsons, who is just an absolute game wrecker on the Cowboys side of the ball. Burrow, again, I think was under duress pretty much the entire game. There's a good side of that too, because it seems like Joe Burrow just makes his most magical plays when this offensive line isn't playing that great. Pass rush other than Trey Hendrickson was pretty bad again. Not good. B.J. Hill, Miles Murphy, Chris Jenkins, none of them generated a single pass rush win. Now you had some pressures from B.J. Hill. But Miles Murphy, man, like he
played a lot of snaps too.
He did, and he's grading far worse than he was graded last season from PFF. Like you can just see that he's not making an impact, not making the impact that they needed him to make when they drafted him. People calling for Sam's head and to get benched.
My head
for Miles Murphy, Sam Hubbard's head.
No.
For Miles Murphy, what has Miles Murphy really done? Like, what is he showing you that he deserves to take that next step?
We mentioned this, and I think we were talking about like what comes next in the couple of weeks ago on our show. You know, of coaching changes, I think Marion Hobby has got to be towards the top of the list as well, because you've not really seen
defensive coaching staff needs to go. It needs to go.
Yeah,
James Betcher, Marion Hobby.
You could maybe say Charles Burke's corners, like you could maybe make a case to keep that, but I wouldn't be, I would not be mad at all to just completely blow that room up and let's start it over again. Speaking of the secondary, Mike Hilton. Now it really was like,
I told you this was a worry going into this game.
Yeah. CeeDee Lamb ate his lunch, especially on that touchdown, which I mean, since his highest graded game of the season against Las Vegas, which, you know, I think you can almost throw that out because who is he really going up against on the Raiders?
Yeah.
He's now turned in 4 straight bad games. And, you know, we were talking about the Bengals free agents in this upcoming class. if you took T. Higgins out, if I told you the one guy that you'd probably want the Bengals to re-sign, Mike Hilton was probably towards the top of both of our lists.
Yeah.
But now, after these last 4 weeks, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know either. You know, I don't know. I don't think it's any bit of a coincidence that, you know, when DJ Turner and Dax Hill go down for the rest of the season, that Mike Hilton probably, you know, feels like he has more on his plate and he's going back to what he was doing at the beginning of 23 and trying to do too much and maybe not playing just within the structure of his own game. But Mike Hilton has looked like a little bit slower, you know, towards for the last probably month or so as well.
It makes me wonder if he's got something wrong with him.
He might. I feel like everybody's got something wrong with them. You know, it's
in more ways than one. We do.
Oh yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It is worrisome. Another secondary guy, Josh Newton. He had some moments where he really struggled as well.
Yeah,
wasn't great. Straight start. You know what he looked like, Mick? Looked like a day three pick.
Yeah, fifth round draft pick.
I mean, it's, you cannot throw him out there as a rookie fifth round pick and expect him to look like Sauce Gardner, you know, or insert, you know, or even trying to think of Dre Kirkpatrick, an average corner or something like that. Like you've got to, is Dre a good example of an average corner? I think that's pretty solid as an average.
Sure.
Bengals corner. I don't know.
I'd say Dax is kind of average, you know, at corner. He's good. He's decent, but not like too good.
But yet we haven't really seen enough of him for to really, I think, have as much of an opinion. Because what did he play? Five games? Was it the Ravens game he got hurt? 4.5?
Yeah.
So we haven't seen much. Anything else you didn't like, or you want to jump into Titans?
Let's jump into the Titans.
Some injury reports for the Bengals. Did not practice today. Orlando Brown Jr., Joe Bocci, Charlie Jones, and Sheldon Rankins. It sounds like Sheldon Rankins is out again. Joe Bocci is out as well on Sunday, and it really sounds like Orlando Brown Jr. When Zach Taylor was asked, he still said week to week, which to me says he's not playing this week. So Charlie Jones, the only one that maybe could come up. Joe Burrow was limited today in practice, but there's no, just sore was the report from the knee hit that he took a little bit late in the game. For the Titans, though, some big names. Tyler Boyd, mm-hmm. Do you know that name? You may have heard of him.
Heard of it.
He did not practice today. Nick Folk did not practice today, their kicker. Kenneth Murray, linebacker. Tony Pollard and Tavondre Sweat all did not practice today for the Titans. They had a couple limited, but Jeffrey Simmons, I think, also did not practice, but it was you don't actually need to practice Jeffrey Simmons because you're really freaking good. So it's like you could just sit out and
that, and your season's essentially done anyway. Exactly. So yeah.
To me, the biggest storyline, obviously, of Bengals Titans is Brian Callahan. You know, you get the Zach Taylor Brian Callahan angle for this. If you haven't read it yet, if you subscribe to The Athletic, I highly, highly, highly recommend. Paul Daner Jr. wrote a phenomenal article about the relationship between Brian Callahan and Zach Taylor that was released earlier today. It's fantastic on how they still talk like all the time. And, you know, Brian Callahan, when he was sitting for his first game of the season this year, I think they were playing the Bears, if my memory's right. He like sent Zach Taylor a text message when he was sitting in the office before the game started and pretty much said like, thanks. Like, you know, I wouldn't be here without you. And Taylor whipped right back and said, you know, I wouldn't be here without you. And so on. It was like, it's a bromance for sure. And it's a really cool thing. My favorite part of this though, was today when he was asked, he said, for one, Joe Burrow would get his MVP vote if he had one. And then he said also that he is going to see Burrow and Chase in the Hall of Fame one day. And when they asked Joe Burrow about that today, did you hear what Joe Burrow's response was?
No.
He's probably right. And I love that. What a response. He's probably right. He's going to see us in the Hall of Fame one day. But I like the Brian Callahan angle. And it seems like him and Zach have a really good relationship.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, he hasn't had the best of first seasons. Brian Callahan hasn't. You know, I think he's definitely got a work in process roster here. It's a roster that I don't know if it's a roster that needs to be completely gutted. But there, you know, there's some pieces that you think are missing there. I mean, your wide receiver core is ancient. I think for wide receiver core, or at least it was when DeAndre Hopkins was, you know, in the mix there. But you've got Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd, two guys that are on the older end of the spectrum. You got Will Levis, who he's come on a little bit better ever since he came back from his injury, but still I think there's a lot of question marks on him and whether he can be the franchise quarterback. And this was supposed to be the season to help determine that too. I mean, you brought guys in like Calvin Ridley and you shored up, you know, some spots in your offensive line, brought in Tyler Boyd, and you had D Hop there, and he just couldn't make it work.
And he has been sacked a lot this year. You know, in 10 games, he's been sacked like 39 times, I think was the stat that I was reading earlier today. He's battled a shoulder injury. You know, he left the game for a period against the Jags on Sunday, but was a full participant in practice today. So it seems like he is going to be good to go. I apologize to Titans fans because I signed Nick Westbrook-Ikhine to my fantasy team a couple of weeks ago, had him on my bench, and he'd been going off. So finally, last week, to get into the playoffs, I'm like, you know what? I'm finally going to start him. Of course, he did nothing that game. He had like one catch for 12 yards or something.
There wasn't a lot of offense in that game.
No, there was not. And I thought, okay, Jags, that's a good opportunity for me to get more points. Thankfully, I had Josh Allen and other guys on my fantasy team, so it was it ended up being okay, and I ended up winning a shootout. And I don't know even if you saw my final score of our fantasy game there, Mick. But
no, I did not pay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the loser of the league this year. That was about it.
And I don't think you were.
I don't think you were. No. Somebody else is.
I won 152 to 145 or something like that was our final. So it was a high scoring game. The offensive line, when you look at it, for one, I was looking at the guys who have made starts on their offensive line this year. And a name popped up to me, Mick, who started at right tackle week 11 against the Vikings. Remember Isaiah Prince?
Yeah.
Like, man, Brian Callahan really is trying to get the band back together in old Tennessee.
So, yeah.
He's still in the league. I was like, oh my.
Offensive tackle right there.
I also had no, when I looked at him, do you know what his pass blocking grade was in the Super Bowl?
I'd like a 10, if no. that, maybe a zero.
It was a 2.9.
Okay.
That's almost hard.
Like pretty hard to do.
That's atrocious, but still. The Titans defense, though, is where they, I guess, you know, we'll have some pieces to build on. Jeffrey Simmons is still a freak. Arden Key has had a pretty solid season as well on that defense. And then Cheeto came back last week. First game, he'd missed like 7 or 8 games this year and was solid last week. Now, the question is okay, was he solid or was he playing the Jags?
Yeah. No, it's a fair question to ask. Now, who was he on? Did you get a chance to see who he was covering?
Does it matter?
Brian Thomas Jr.? Well, Brian Thomas Jr. has been playing pretty decent this year.
Gabe Davis?
Well, that doesn't matter. But, yeah, no, their defense has played decent. It's been pretty middle of the road this season. Definitely not as bad as their offense has been. Jeffrey Simmons, like you mentioned, really good interior defensive lineman, ranking 9th in interior defensive lineman pass rush grade. 29th in PRP rate, 20th in pass rush win rate. All of those are above the 50th percentile of interior defensive linemen. Quandre Diggs, safety, has had, you know, quietly a pretty decent year. Well-rounded safeties, middle of the road in run defense grade for safeties, and then he's in the 76th percentile of coverage grade. Yeah, so those are two. That's another guy of note on the Titans defense. Tony Pollard, whether he plays or not, is going to be, I think, pretty huge because he's quietly had, I think, a very solid season. The touchdown numbers aren't there. He only has 4 touchdowns, but he's almost at 1,000 yards with 4 games to go. He's averaging 3.6 yards after contact. That's 6th in the NFL amongst running backs, 23rd in breakaway yardage rate. Yeah, I think he's had a pretty solid season. And then Calvin Ridley, another guy to note, has been their wide receiver one for the season, but it hasn't been, great. 738 yards, 3 touchdowns, 53rd in the league in yards per route ran. Has a pretty high drop percentage, 12.3%, but has a pretty high contested catch rate. He's got 13 contested catches on the season, which is in the top 15 of wide receivers.
Do you think Ja'Marr Chase is sad Legarius Sneed's hurt?
Yeah, probably. He's had a pretty bad season, too.
Yeah, Legarius
Sneed has.
He has. But it was funny, they asked Ja'Marr a couple of weeks ago he made some comment about guys he doesn't like in the NFL as far as corners. And I think a reporter followed up with, "You want to name anybody?" And he goes, "No." He says, and the reporter followed up with, "Is that guy maybe going to be on the schedule in the next coming weeks?" And he goes, "Maybe." So I was like, "Oh, it's got to be Legarius Sneed." And at that point, you never know if Ja'Marr knew that Legarius Sneed was hurt or not, because do they keep track of that? I don't know. Or it could be, I don't know if Denzel Ward would be on the list if somebody Ja'Marr doesn't like. But it just made me think about that. But I just found it funny that, the Legarius Sneed aspect of this, because it's clear that Ja'Marr and him aren't necessarily buddy-buddy.
Yeah.
Other than that, for the Titans, I mean, this is a game the Bengals should win.
Well, it's a must win. Every game's a must win now.
Yeah. But I'm more just making the point of is that, like, this Titans team's not.
They should be able to knock this one out. They should be able to win comfortably in this game and dominate. I agree.
Let's go into some picks here. Bengals at Titans. That'll be 1 o'clock on Fox. If you're going to the game, though, remember you're in my time zone, so it's a noon kickoff since it's Central Time where Nashville is. Kevin Kugler and Daryl Johnston are going to be on the call because that game's going to be on Fox. It's one of those weird AFC-only games that is on Fox, just like the Bengals-Raiders game earlier this year. I'm still debating on whether I'm going to go, Mick. It's going to be probably a Saturday night decision whether I actually pull the plug and go to the game. I'm leaning towards no and just watching on my couch. Because my couch is comfortable, and then I don't have to drive to Nashville because I've been over it. I don't like Nashville.
Then you don't have to drive back from Nashville.
Correct. So I probably will lean towards no, but hey, you never know. Maybe I'll have a change of heart, and if I find a ticket that's dirt cheap, maybe I bite the bullet and go and do it. The referee is Craig Rolstad.
Okay.
The Bengals are 5-4 all time, and Craig Rolstad, the wins. Saints in 2014, Rams in 2015, Broncos 2017, Dolphins 2018, and the Patriots in 2022. That was the cold game with the, was it DJ Reader or BJ Hill that forced the fumble at the end? DJ Reader, maybe?
I think it was DJ Reader. Yeah. Also, that was the game with like a bunch of missed kicks because of how cold it was.
Yes, and then that was Trenton Irwin touchdown. Which, shout out to Trenton Irwin for signing to the practice squad with the Panthers. Good luck to him. I'm sorry that he has to go to Carolina, but good luck to Trenton. Seems like he's a really good dude. The losses, the Jags in 2019, the Jets in 2021. We can come back to that. 49ers 2021, and the Steelers on the road last year. So, Mick, you may remember, and Jay Morrison made a point of this in his Sports Illustrated article, Jets in 2021, the loss. You may remember that as the Mike White game, where Mike White had a monster game for the Jets that day. But you also may remember that there was a massive blown call in that game. And I'd forgotten about this until Jay brought it up in his article. Mike Hilton was called for unnecessary roughness on a dump-off pass on 3rd and 11. The Jets were up 3 with about 2 minutes to go. He was called for unnecessary roughness when the Jets receiver lowered his helmet into Mike Hilton, and Mike Hilton was called for unnecessary roughness on that play. Now, Craig Rolstad wasn't the guy that called it. It was his line judge, but it was his crew. Jay Morrison just brought it up, and I watched the play today, and I was like, you know what? I forgot that happened. But it was a pretty atrocious play, and I remember being very upset about it when it had happened. But I don't know. So there's Craig Rolstad's stats. Bengals are 5-4. A lot more losses recently. Like, the Bengals won their first 4, Craig Rolstad games, and
yeah,
1-4 since. Does that mean anything? Does Craig Rolstad hate Zach Taylor?
I think he does.
It's clear. I mean, listen, Marvin Lewis never lost. Zach Taylor's 1-4. It's a fact. Craig Rolstad hates Zach Taylor. You got a pick?
27-20 Bengals.
Oh. I think that's about the spread, right? I think the Bengals by 6, I think is what it is right now.
I saw five. What I saw was 5. Yeah.
I'm going to say
cover.
I'm going to say 31-17 Bengals. 31-17 Bengals. I mean, this Titans defense is average. I think that's the word we're using to describe it, right? Burrow should not have any issues. I know I was talking to a Titans fan last night, and he said, please make Joe Burrow be easy on us on Sunday. And I said, as long as Isaiah Simmons or Jeffrey Simmons is easy on him, we can agree to that. Like, let's just not have Jeffrey Simmons hurt him or anything like that. Riley says 35-17 Bengals. I mean, it should be a blowout. Like, the Bengals should make a statement here and blow this team out.
And they've shown an ability to do that against teams like the Titans all season. I mean,
except
take
for
out
week
the Patriots
one.
Game. Yeah, take out the Patriots game because, you know, in week one, you know, we just, you know, well, one, it's week one. Like, I feel like it's
no
just
tea.
A glorified preseason game. Also, yeah, no tea. But, you know, you look at games that they won that they should have won, right? The Panthers
Ooh,
game.
Chalk is saying the Titans win 21-17. I don't like that negativity, Chalk Chapo.
Anyways, they found a way to beat bad teams this year at a pretty good rate. No, you know, they've beaten the Panthers, the Giants, the Raiders,
the Cowboys.
The Cowboys are on that list, I think. So I mean, I think that they're gonna make, you know, they should be able to make a statement in this game and kind of continue that trend.
Yeah, I mean, they should, and I mean, I'm assuming like that stadium is going to be a lot of Bengals fans in it.
Yes,
because Titans fans are checked out.
It's going to be a home game. Yeah,
yeah. Titans fans are checked out. I mean, I was looking earlier. I mean, it's been a couple of days since I looked. I don't know that I've looked since the Titans lost on Sunday to the Jags. But I mean, I saw tickets for as cheap as $34 in the stadium. So I mean, like, you can get in there really cheap if you want to go. I've been to a game there at Nissan Stadium. It was really cool because the section I was in was almost all entirely Bengals fans, and we had a great time until we didn't. That was the that was 2017.
Was that
2017?
It was a 1-point loss, right?
That was the one where
Hail Mary in that game.
Yeah, and then they ended up scoring the Titans. I'm trying to remember that I think the Bengals took the lead, and then the Titans scored late in that game to win. I'm gonna pull up the box score now. 24-20, Titans won the game. Yeah, AJ Green had a 70-yard touchdown pass with 5:03 to go, and then DeMarco Murray caught a 7-yard touchdown pass from Marcus Mariota with 36 seconds left. So that I knew it was something at the end to rip our hearts out in that game. I always love looking now here too. Okay, here you go, Mick. Can you name how many is this? So 7 Bengals caught a pass in that game.
Oh shit! Yeah, I could do that.
Let's see if you can do it.
AJ Green.
There you go.
Tyler Boyd.
No.
Okay. Well, fuck.
Oh man, there's some good names on this list. Oh,
Josh
this,
Malone.
There you go. 1 catch for 6 yards.
Cody Core.
No.
Uzama.
No.
What?
No. Oh, yeah. No. Nope.
Mixon.
1 catch for Mixon.
Mixon.
So you're missing one guy that had 6
Giovanni
for 95.
Bernard, Giovanni.
Gio had 5 for 38. So you're missing one guy who had 6 for
Brandon
95
LaFell.
Yards. There you go. You're missing 2 guys. Both had 1 catch for 4 yards.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, can I get positions?
Tight end and wide receiver.
Which wide receiver am I missing? I feel like I named them all.
Undrafted.
Both were undrafted?
One was not. One was I wouldn't have guessed he was that high.
Eifert had a catch in that game?
He did not.
Nope.
Rutgers in Wisconsin were their schools.
Tyler Kraft.
Tyler Croft, yep.
Croft,
Tyler Croft and Alex Erickson.
Hey, okay. Damn,
Alex Erickson. Alex Erickson were the leading, and then leading tackler that day was Nick Vigil. We wrap it all the way around with Josh Shaw as the second leading tackler in that game. Because I think, if my memory's right, that Vontaze got thrown out in that game. I think he did get ejected that day, if my memory is right, because it was the I've seen my team play two games at Nissan Stadium, and both times we have lost late, and my team has had a player ejected in it. Because Benny Snell was thrown out when Kentucky played there in the Music City Bowl back then a couple of years ago. But yeah, so if you go to the game, have a great time. I know Bengal Gym's having a big tailgate. We had a really good time at Bengal Gym's tailgate in Carolina. I thought that was a blast. So I'd highly recommend it to buy the tickets there. I know a lot of it goes to a charity and so on. And I thought that was awesome, tailgating with a bunch of Bengals fans in Carolina. I mean, there were, what do you say, like 1,500 tickets that day? It was awesome.
Yeah, there was a lot of people there.
And a parking lot, so hopefully you have fun if you go. Remember also, to follow us.
I think it was more than 1,500. It had to have been like...
I thought I remembered him saying that they sold 1,500 tickets. I don't remember.
Way more than that. Okay.
It may have been. I don't remember. But remember to follow us on our social media channels. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're also on Twitter. Follow us on your favorite podcasting platform too. Give us a 5-star rating that way so more people can find the podcast there. Any parting thoughts?
No, like you just said, if you're going to the game, have a safe trip, have a really good time, bring us home a win. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That'll wrap us up next week. Hopefully going to recap a Bengals win against the Titans, and we're not previewing Thursday Night Football next week. Instead, we get to preview a 1 o'clock Sunday game as the Bengals take on the Browns, because I'm sad because we don't get Thursday Night Football.
I'm not sad at all.
I am sad. So that'll be next time. We'll see you next week, and hooday.
Hooday. Thanks for watching.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.